Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Always fun to talk to our friend Stacy Dales, and she joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. And Stacy was in Detroit for the big showdown and on the unfortunate loss by the Lions, but it opened up a nice future for Ben Johnson. I bet you didn't think you'd be talking to him again so soon, did you, Stacey? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I didn't. I honestly, it was, although I had an eerie feeling for the Lions because Jaden Daniels is really damn good. I mean, he blew me away. That week blew me away, just the preparation leading up to it. But it was evident 48 hours later, the Bears strike and Ben is the new head coach. And, you know, that's who they had circled. I mean, it's apparent. And as I said in, you know, my report the other night, I mean, this was the best case scenario, in my opinion. We have talked, right, for weeks on air about this and just who might be the best candidate. And so here we go. It's kind of weird, though, because, like, I was thinking about it today. We're gonna get him on, fortunately, on camera. And Ben Johnson's awesome, so I'm super pumped about it. How many Bears coaches I've interviewed as introductory coaches?
Well, it's a long list, Stacey.
Yeah, I think I go back to Mark Trestman, yeah. John Fox,
right.
Matt Nagy,
check.
Matt Eberflus.
Check.
Who am I missing?
That's it. Today will be different, right?
I believe Dave Wonstead.
Yeah, you weren't around in the Dave Wonstead era. I don't think you were here for Love
I think
either.
You were here. You were just playing ball.
No.
So today, obviously, he takes over. He's going to project. He's going to ooze confidence. And there's going to be a lot of positive impressions. How do you explain that this happened so fast, as you alluded to? And what do you expect to hear today?
I just think it happened so fast. I was not surprised. I mean, I think you know that, David. I was not surprised by this. I think a lot of people were. For me, it was not a surprise. You know, Ben is really he's really on top of things. Now I'm going to be careful to temper expectations for this team because, I mean, history has told me and taught me that. But I really do feel like of the 17 or so candidates that they interviewed, they were really impressed by him, and they should be. I mean, this isn't his first go around of interviews. I mean, he was a candidate last year in the cycle and the last season in the cycle. So he's been kind of contemplating all this himself, Ben Johnson, for a couple of years. And he made it pretty clear that it had to be the right situation for he and his family. And so when we saw him at Hallis Hall yesterday, it was very clear to me, and I have like 1,000 questions for him, so I'm going to have to tweak those down a little. But it became very clear to me that this was the destination for him. And I have to imagine, as I'll ask him today, that the quarterback, Caleb Williams, was a massive part of his decision. And, you know, one of the things Ryan Poles said in his statement was it became evident to him that Ben's process and vision were something the Bears kind of fell in love with as they got to speak to him more and spend more time with him. So I just am really anxious to see what that vision is, what that holds, and sort of his hit-the-ground-running approach to Caleb Williams to start with in terms of getting him to play in rhythm and getting him to have some fun out there. And that's one thing I know about Ben Johnson. I mean, I have interviewed over the time of just him being an offensive coordinator, which is the last 3 seasons in Detroit, you know, multiple offensive players, like from quarterback to the offensive lineman to running backs to receivers, tight ends. And there's like a recurring resounding theme of fun, but it's controlled fun. And so I think that's kind of exciting. If you're Caleb, I'm sure they've talked. I can't wait to find out today what that conversation's been like.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear what he has to say. I don't believe there's any way to kind of fail on a day like this. It's obviously a great day for him because it is the you know, consummation of his entire career to get an opportunity like this. I'm just very curious as to, I loved his introductory thing yesterday where he came in and joked that people have to get back to work. And then he talked about how important the players are in that locker room. You got to make them feel it. I just love that because, you know, he got himself out of the picture. He just talked about the team, and that's kind of the way you need to handle these things.
Yeah, and I think you guys know, Molly and David, that you don't do this without really good players, which he had in Detroit. And so, I mean, he sent a direct message to these players that are currently on the roster. Now, the roster isn't going to look the same after March, right? It's going to change in April by the nature of free agency and the draft. So, but now he can actually have an imprint. So, like, that's why the Bears wasted zero time. And they had this guy circled. He was the hottest offensive-minded coach on the market. And, I mean, the numbers speak to it. I like I said in the report, listen, like, the stats don't lie sometimes and most often. And, like, Jared Goff has led the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns since 2022. This was a quarterback that was cast off, right? The Rams got rid of him because they thought Matthew Stafford was better. They struck a deal. And Jared goes in with a chip on his shoulder to Detroit with a head coach in Dan Campbell who empowers his players and a really intuitive, innovative offensive mind. I heard somebody say the other day that Ben is emotional. I don't, for me, the term emotional isn't, I mean, he is intense. Like, he's going to call. When you have a conversation directly with him, like, I'll never forget when I actually really got to meet him. It was several years ago at the Combine when he was becoming the new OC. And I was introduced by another Lions staff member. And I saw this guy. He's like this, like, you know, regular looking guy. And they come up to me and, like, I want to introduce you to Ben Johnson. He's our new offensive coordinator. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I know. He's been on the staff. And he is just, like, he's very direct, eye contact. He's very, I've said, measured, controlled, very strategic. I think he's going to impress with his delivery today. I think that he has the ability to infuse these guys with some confidence. Like, trust me, I'm going to put you in a really good situation. And I remember a conversation I had with Graham Glasgow, who's, was good offensive lineman. And they had, between the Eagles and the Lions, the two best offensive lines, you could argue, in football this season. And I remember Graham telling me last year in the 2023 season, like, I said to him, what, this was going into maybe a Green Bay game, I'm not sure, but they won the division that year again. And he said, you know, Ben is, like, literally constantly taking plays that we've run, and he's changing them. And he's finding a different way to run them, and he's constantly adding new wrinkles. And then I thought about that this week. I learned something about Andy Reid, and I'm not comparing him to Andy Reid, but I remember being on a production call going into the Netflix Christmas game, and I asked Travis Kelce, how have you seen Andy Reid change and evolve as a play caller over the years? And he lit up. He said he is the reason he has wanted to stay in Kansas City all these years. And what he said to me, you guys, is Andy Reid keeps a stack of cue cards, just little index cards, and they're full of new plays. And it's like, probably, Travis said, 100 deep. And he has it with him the entire offseason. He has it with him during the season. And every card has a guy's name on it with a new play they might run for him. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I was on this call with Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt and Melanie Collins. Nate Burleson didn't make the call, but we were all like, what? And so Andy keeps this chunk of index cards. So I share that because Ben Johnson, he has passion like that. I mean, he's a young 38-year-old now head coach, and he has passion like that I think he's going to be able to come into this group and see the skill set of Caleb Williams and start to make cards for Cole Kmet, right? And start to make cards for DJ Moore. And so maybe a different way he'll do that, but once he gets into the lab, I think it could be exciting, but again, I'm going to temper my emotions and see how it plays out.
I wonder if Andy Reid uses those cards to wallpaper his den the way that Matt Nagy once did. Stacey, when you look at the impact that Ben Johnson will have on Caleb Williams, and I don't think anybody expects anything different, what is the way that he can help the most? What is the one area that you think requires the most attention, and how will we be able to see the obvious change in Caleb Williams?
Simplifying the game. Getting him to understand his reads. Just very simple. Simple reads. Like, take away half of it and give him half of it. And start there. And incorporate a run game. A solid run game. And that's something that he prides himself on. Like, he's going to want to run the ball here in Chicago. And that is a quarterback's best friend. Go ask Tom Brady. Go ask Patrick Mahomes. Like, seriously, like, especially when you get into important football, you know, what we saw in Detroit, they made it a priority by bringing in David Montgomery to add to a guy in Jahmyr Gibbs who they drafted in the first round, and everybody was shaking their head. Like, don't think Ben Johnson didn't have a hand in that. So I just think he's going to simplify it, make it super easy for Caleb, and get him to be that inner child again and have that kid inside of him and go out and play football and don't worry about making mistakes. Like, I think if the offense is built in such a way that there's no fear in throwing it because you know you trust the read, and that is the heart of why Detroit was good. Trust. That's why they went short so often on fourth down, and they were so aggressive because there was an implicit trust in their offense. Now, I think where the Bears have to start is at the offensive line. I mean, that's no secret. I think if Fraley comes in and becomes the offensive coordinator, who was the O-line coach in Detroit and does a masterful job, that is a win-win. Like, you think about Adam Stenovich, who was the O-line coach in Green Bay. Nathaniel Hackett leaves, and Matt LaFleur calls the play, so he promotes and elevates Stenovich to be the OC. So you've got a good voice in there. You've got a guy who can prioritize the offensive line. I think Fraley would be an outstanding addition in that capacity.
Yeah, what have you heard on him? He's supposedly interviewing for the second time, or did yesterday, in Seattle, but there was a report that he may be coming here as the OC again. But yeah, he'd be huge. That would be a big help.
Huge. I mean, well, it would be these are the things I get excited about. These are the rumors I get excited about because he played the game, right? So he has that. So many of those Detroit coaches played the game, and the players love that. As a coach, he has a lot of experience. I mean, not only in the NFL, but he's been in the college ranks. He spent time with the Vikings, and obviously with the Lions since 2018. He went from the assistant offensive line coach to the offensive line coach, and you go ask those guys. Like, they love him. They love him. That would be poor Dan Campbell. I mean, he's going to have to replace all these coaches. But, and you want to bring in your guys, right, because there's that trust. And that's why there was such a trust within that offense. And that's if you can give that to your players, Caleb can throw that ball into a spot and trust that DJ is going to get to it because they've been taught during the week how to do it. And I think that's what Ben's going to bring.
What do you think this does? The Bears getting the most sought after head coaching candidate on the market. Yeah. What does this do league wide to their reputation and their stature?
Oh, it's awesome. Good for you, Ryan Poles. Way to go. Way to go. He's out on a mission. He has been. I know it hasn't gone well. Last season was a complete, funk. And I cannot forget being in London. They beat I don't even know who they beat at this point. I mean, they win the game. And then they come back and Hail Mary happens. Tyreek Stevenson happens. And the season tanks. And, but Ryan has been really narrowly focused on this process in terms of pinpoint trying to zero laser focus, I should say. And you know, to get the hottest, widely considered hottest candidate, you could argue that, you know, Mike McCarthy, and given his historical prowess, and Pete Carroll, and like Aaron Glenn's probably going to be the Jets coach. But to get an offensive-minded coach, which was what Caleb Williams wanted, he made that very clear, and somebody who's, we know he's going to call the plays, which makes that offensive coordinator spot somebody he's got to know and trust really well. And I think defensively, on the other side, get a guy like, you know, like the rumors are Dennis Allen, we'll see, but get a guy like that who has head coaching experience, you know, Rizzi, and from a special teams coach who he actually saw, you know, knew from Miami. Like, get guys with experience. You don't have to worry about that side of the football. You know, it may come down to situational football, 2-minute drill at the end of the game where you've got to make a call on your offense or your defense, but get somebody like that that you can trust, that Sean Payton trusted in Dennis Allen. I just like the direction this is going. I think this hire was a statement in terms of, we are investing in Caleb Williams for the long haul, and we believe this guy is going to take him to the promised land with our franchise. And I think it sends a message to the roster that we know what we need, and we're going to go get it for you. And now it's your turn, players, to step up and step in and execute what he wants to do.
And, you know, kudos to Kevin Warren, who seems to be dragging this franchise into kind of the modern world. They paid this guy $13 million. You know, if they get Dennis Allen, if they get Rizzi, if they get Hank Fraley, they're paying top dollar for those kind of coaches to come in. If they keep this going, they're going to have an expensive staff, but a worthy one. I mean, that's the big deal. He's making this franchise look like they're not afraid to pay for what you get and not settle on something that might not be as good.
Yeah, and they're still paying Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, that's
right. By
the
way. Yep. So you're right, Molly. I mean, but they have no choice. I mean, how many times can you go through the cycle and go through this lull? And, you know, Bears fans are livid, they're tired, and, you know, this kind of breathes some light into it. But again, I temper my expectations, but, you know, you've automatically said to your quarterback, let's start there. You've automatically said to Caleb, we're going to do this for you. We're going to go get this for you. Like, you look around the league right now, Kevin O'Connell is, you know, there for the long term, as we just saw with his, you know, they're going to extend him and all that, and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM, and, you know, Dan Campbell, Sheila Ford Hamp doesn't want to lose him. And, like, you have to invest in these coaches. I mean, what did Jim Harbaugh make going to the Chargers? They paid him a handsome number to go be their head coach. It matters.
He won a title, though. He was coming in a national champion.
Yeah,
and he was.
Yeah. And he can command a lot more than Ben Johnson. But this does speak to how serious they seem about winning a title.
To David, that's your point. This is like Kevin Warren, say what you want, like, he's a businessman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure his voice was in there saying, no, this is what we need to do, and this is the number we need to strike. What's it going to take? I bet they sat at the table with Ben Johnson and said, what number do you need? What do you want? And he probably got with his agent. They looked around the league and probably landed right where they did.
That's pretty good math.
Yeah,
he can do it in his head.
Yeah, and we'll see, right? Like, nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
It's not guaranteed that it's going to work.
Right.
But they pulled him away from everybody else. They pulled him away from the Raiders. They pulled him away from the Jaguars. They made sure that he wasn't getting away from them. And I there was good energy yesterday. Do you guys agree? Like, the energy in the building yesterday?
No doubt.
Right?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good first impression.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes today. Great stuff, Stacey. Thank you a ton.
Thank you, Stacey.
Talk soon.
All right.
That is Stacey Dales.